There is a verse.
It was the end of the law to them that believe. Before I put that up there, what was the law for? For Israel, yeah. But until the law, sin was in the world. There was sin there before there was transgression of the law, because there was sin before there was the law. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Well, that's like Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In other words, all those past sins, David's, Joshua's, you know, all those people back then, Seth, every sin they'd sinned was remitted when they brought the sacrifices, etc., or the blood offering that the Lord prepared for Adam when he sinned, things like that. That's what it's talking about. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Those sins were not imputed at that time. They were remitted until the time when Christ came and bore those sins on the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 also talks about the current time where sins are not being imputed. Let me just post that. Okay, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not just Israel anymore, but the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You're reconciled. Be ye reconciled is the... The Lord has done reconciling from his side, and we're to be ambassadors, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, in place of Christ, that you be ye reconciled to God. It's something you have to do from your side. Receive it. Okay, so there's three instances of imputation, not imputing sins. But sin is sin. Even before the law, sin was sin. And the wages of sin is death. So when we get to Romans 10:4, let me post that. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So everyone that believes, there was a change in the law to them, that it ended. Any effect that the law had on them stopped. What about those that don't believe? What about Gentiles that, well, Jews that don't believe, they're cast out of the assembly, out of the camp in the wilderness. They were cast out of the group there into the desert. They would die. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So what is the effect that occurs to those that do believe? What change is there in the law? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. What about Gentiles that believe today? There's one thought that they were not under the law, so there's no difference. But it looks to me like there is a difference there in the verse, Romans 10:4. And if you go, let me post some verses here from 1 Timothy that say to me that there was the law has an effect on everybody, Jew or Gentile, then or now. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Well, how do you use it lawfully, Paul? This is Paul talking in a not in a Acts period epistle, but in a prison epistle. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. That wasn't his purpose, but for the lawless. So, who is righteous? Those that have received Christ as their Savior. Who is not righteous? All the Gentiles and Jews in the world that haven't received Christ as their Savior. Lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, verse 11 to close, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So that's Paul's gospel. The gospel of salvation, the gospel of the grace of God now, it's called. Any variance from God's righteousness in people that are not saved, that's who the law applies to. It points out, well, look at Romans 3, 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law. The law is not, what's the term, the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, whether you have the law or not, but it says being witnessed by the law. The law points out the righteousness of God. In a way that we, you know, in a practical sense, practical ways. You have to wash this, you have to wash that, you have to be baptized to be a priest, you have to do this and that. The law had 613 things that narrowly defined the righteousness of God to them. We have the righteousness of God. Look at the next verse. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law point out the righteousness of God, points it out, and the prophets point out the righteousness of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. And it's upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, all have sinned. So that's why I think that Byron had it right. Although I will say that the comments that were made in the text, there is some validity to that, because we can't just say that the law extended to us, because it was, like he said, it wasn't given to us, it was given to Moses for Israel. Israel is the one that said, all that you have said we will do, and Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. They were the ones that covenanted to abide by the law. So, but this narrow part of the law here in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11 is the part that I think makes it so it applies to some extent to people today.